Down.
I'm going way, way down.
Down.
Everything.
To Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad that you have stopped by today to tune in to the show that we will be presenting today. And before we start, I'll say a prayer. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son to die for each and every one of us on the cross, dear Heavenly Father. Jesus endured integrity, suffering, and death, so that I and you may continue to live. Lord, I thank you for your promise of eternal life. Let me share the good news today, dear Heavenly Father, with a world so desperately that needs the word of God. Your healing hands and the salvation of your Son today, dear Heavenly Father. Today, let me share the message of Jesus Christ through my words and my deeds, dear Heavenly Father. Let me be a woman of integrity today, dear Heavenly Father. Guiding, uprighting them, dear Heavenly Father, the unfaithful, and destroying all the duplicates, dear Heavenly Father. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray, amen, and thank God. Well, today we have another exciting topic today. And for those that was listening when the song started, I Smile, then Hello Fear at the Altar, it jumped itself. I didn't even do it. So God wanted those songs to play this morning. I give God praise. I give him thanks. If someone listening in, and not only radio land, computer land also, that might have needed that lift this morning, might have needed to be picked up this morning, might be laying on the highways and the byways of life this morning, that need to be encouraged. But I give God praise and serve the devil notice today. He has no place on this show today. He has no place on this air today. We serve the devil notice. We come talking about concerns of God. And I hope you came with your Bible, with your paper, and with your pencil. That way, as we give out scriptures, you can go back at your earliest convenience, at your prayer time and reading time, where you may be able to pull up these scriptures and gurgitate and see what thus saith the Lord to you concerning those scriptures today. And today we're going to be coming from Romans, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 2, verses 1 through 5 and 6, and verses 15, verse 25 of Romans, the 11th chapter. We're going to have 25 through 26, also 28 through 32. That's all found in Romans, the 11th chapter. It's in your Bible if you have not tore your pages out. Praise be to God. You know, as I was reading this here by concerns of God, God's concern is on everything, on our heart, not only man's heart, but woman's heart also. God is concerned today about Israel rejection. God did not reject Israel. Though Israel rejected the gospel, God remained faithful to his promise through the remnant of Israel preserved by his grace. And you know, when we started off with the first verse, it said, I say then, have God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribes of Benjamin. And verse 2 says, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture said of Elisha, how he make intercessions to God against Israel. My. You know, Israel rejection of the gospel provided the Gentiles with the opportunity for salvation. You know, though the Gentile, God worked to make his people, Israel, more aware of their needs for salvation. You know, the Gentiles were warned not to mistake God's grace as a sign that they had assured and assumed Israel place of special favor. God extend mercy to anyone who believes, Jews or Gentiles. You know, Israel's hardness of heart is only temporary. Spiritual favor, fervorance, and vitality will return to Israel one day. And at that time, God's covenant will be fulfilled. You know, God is worthy of praise and adoration today for the grace and mercy he extends to each and every one of us. Only the God of wisdom and complete knowledge could conceive of a plan to show love for his people, Israel. And today, if anybody would like to call in, talk about the concerns of God, let me give you that number that you can call in. It's area code 646-716-4389. That number again is 646-716-4389. And if you're tuned in, all you have to do is hit 1 on your keypad, and I'll surely bring you in if you would like to speak on anything concerning and the concern of God today. You know, as I read in Romans, the 11th chapter, Paul was talking about God's relationship with Israel. He showed that God's redemption work toward Israel continued in spite of Israel's rejection of the gospel. You know, at times we may be tempted to give up on someone or shake a fist at God or declare no interest in knowing God. We may be tempted to dismiss religion or nations or people grown up or people grouped who appear to be against the claim of Jesus Christ. We may question the need to send missionaries or pray for their salvation or give so that they can hear the gospel. You know, but here we are reminded that God never gave up on anyone as long as that person is alive. God don't give up on us, No matter what we do, what we say, we can go to God and ask for forgiveness. He never give up on us. We are concerns of God. He's telling us the different concerns of God today. It's a lot of things that a lot of people are doing today that God don't approve of. But he's telling us about the concerns of God today in Israel. You know, his concern and love never waver just because someone refused his love. I think I say that again. His concern and love never waver just because someone refused his love. How many? You can't put God's love in people that don't want it. You can share it with them. It's up to them to receive it or reject it. You know, and as God loved Israel and reached out to the entire nation, so God loves all the people in the world and reaches out to them. You know, we come up when we was reading in verse 1, where I said that God has God cast away his people? God forbid. You know, in verse 1, here it comes talking about rejection. And reject me to cast away. The Israelite is a title of national group of people declaring Paul's status as a Jew. Therefore, he was an heir to the promise of God. Paul present himself as A, that God did not reject his people. In verse 2, for new Israel as another reason, we know it is impossible that God will reject Israel. You know, the verb for new is used 5 times in the New Testament. The relationship noun is used twice. You know, of these 7 occurrences, 5 are in connection with God. As in this verse, 2 are in the connection with people. When used of people, it means is that someone has foreknowledge based on prior experience. When use of God, its meaning, it is a firm, settled purpose. You know, within the council of the Godhead, an eternal decree was made that selected Israel as the nation through whom all nations would be blessed. You know, God foreknew Israel through this purpose settled in eternity. Though Israel rejected God, God did not reject Israel. You may reject God today, but God has not rejected you. You know, he continued to show his concern for his chosen people. You know, through Elisha's experience, Paul reminds his readers and God's purpose in Israel would be fulfilled. Although seemingly all of Israel had rejected the gospel, Elijah had thought he was the only prophet left that God's purpose would fail. But if you read over in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter and the 10th through the 14th verse, God assured Elijah that many prophets unknown to Elijah were faithful, and that his purpose would come to pass. You know, as I was reading that, you may think to yourself today, do you know someone who believes God has rejected him or her? Think about that. If you know somebody, think about the next thing. How could you encourage that person? If somebody you've come across that believe God has rejected them because they're going through this, they're going through that. But it go back to the topic, concerns of God. God has concerns for each and every one of us today. He has not failed us. He has not forsaken us. He has not rejected us. He has not left us. God is standing right there with you. You know, in verse 5, it says, even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the elect of grace. You know, the remnant, that means that which was left. You know, it was made up of Jewish Christians. Time is not chronological time, but a period of seasons of time. You know, at this point in history, God's salvation came to the Gentile, although the same salvation had been rejected by Israel. Even so, a remnant of Israel recognized and received God's salvation through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. My. You know, as I went through the scripture and reading that and recognizing that Israel recognized and received God's salvation through the Messiah, the fact that any Jews was part of this remnant had nothing to do with that Jewish heritage or that religion practice of the Mosaic law, but everything to do with grace. You know, in overflowing and abundant love, God offered the gift of salvation to those who do not deserve it. Jews and Gentiles, even the most faithful Christian in the world does not deserve God's mercy any more than the most wicked sinner. And as I went to verse 6, and if by grace, then is it no more a work otherwise grace? It's no more grace, but if it be of works, then is it no more grace otherwise? Work is no more work. You know, grace and work are mutually excluded idea. To mix them is to destroy the meaning of both. Every world religion, human philosophy, and religious decree of government reflects a pathway to God of either grace or work. You know, people know God through the goodness of their work or through the goodness of one's life. The first is represented by the scale of judgment. Does my good outweigh my bad? The second is represented by the cross. Nothing about my life is acceptable but to the Holy Ghost. All I have is Jesus Christ, and his righteousness applies to my life. And as I read about that and I thought about that, what symbol represents your journey to God? You know, why would a Christian whose salvation is based on grace live as if his or her salvation is based on work? It's not based on work, y'all. Have you really thought about that? We think about we work. We're going to get to heaven by our works. No. It's not all about works. And as I read on a little bit further, I went to verse 11. And it said, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. You know, having built the case that Israel stumbled in their quest for God, Paul answered the quest of just how badly Israel stumbled spiritually. Did they stumble so as to fall, not being able to get up again? On the contrary, to introduce the idea that God took Israel stumbling and used it as a means of eventually bringing Israel back to him. My. No, jealousy has no connection with the romantic jealousy of today, characterization by possession, insecurity, or self-centered control. You know, the difference between God's jealousy and human jealousy is in who benefits. In human jealousy, the one who is jealous seeks to benefit himself or herself. When God was jealous toward Israel, he wanted Israel back for Israel's benefit, not God's. God is sufficient and complete within himself. You know, in verse 12 is saying, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the dimension of them that then the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? You know, here referring to the spiritual riches made available to the Gentiles through Israel, rejection of Jesus as Messiah. Failure means diminishment, speaking of the spiritual blessing missed because of Israel stumbling. You know, Paul can argue that Israel stumbled through such blessing. Imagine what blessing would come when all Israel, full number, one day received Jesus as its Messiah as a nation. Anyone who rejects the gospel is missing the blessing of fulfilling the purpose for which our Creator made us. You know, we go to verse 13 and 14, and it says, for I speak to you, Gentile, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Verse 14 says, if by mean I may provoke to emulation, then which are my flesh might save some of them. You know, Jesus spoke directly to his primary readers, the Gentiles. Some Gentile Christians may have thought God had turned away from abstaining Israel once and for all. In Israel's place, they may have imagined that God looked on the Gentile as an even greater object of his affection than Israel. Paul allowed no room for such boasting. No room for such boasting. My. You know, even his role as an apostle to the Gentile was partly a way to help his own people come to Christ. Paul was committed to the faithful discharge of his duties with this end in mind. And as he did so, he would magnify or glorify his majesty yoke as being a part of God, abiding concern for Israel. Paul did not denigrated his passion to reach the Gentiles with the gospel, but to remind the Gentiles that God's concern for Israel was no less real in spite of their spiritual hardness. He was still showing them concern, the concerns of God today. You know, world revelation could be interpreted several ways, as a worldwide spiritual awakening, as a completion or fulfillment of redemption, at the resurrection, or as the acceptance of the gospel by the Jewish people. You know, verse 15 seems to be parallel with verse 12, meaning that life from the dead related to full number. Seeing the verse as parallel means that word reconciliate referred to Israel turning from their unbelief to salvation. We was talking this morning on our prayer line about unbelief, how people don't believe in what God have put before them, have showed them, have taught them, unbelief and salvation. My. You know, as I went to verse 25 and 26, meaning mystery means a form of hidden purpose of God that is revealed to provide a more complete understanding. You know, the hidden purpose Paul referred to is that the Israelite hardness toward God is not permitted. In time, Israel would move from spiritual rebellion to spiritual acceptance. Paul wanted the Gentile believers at Rome to remember that in case they was tempted to become conceited, thinking they not occupy Israel's position of favor. My. I thank God for all the guests that have come in on the chat line this morning. If you would like to come in and say anything, just come right on in. That number is 646-716-4389, because we all here learning today on concerns of God, because God has a lot of concern for his people. And if anybody would like to come on and say something, just push one on your keypad, and I will gladly bring you in. And if you have some things that you would like to share on the chat line, please do that. I would really love to hear from you today, because it's all about God. It's not about Overseer Sadie. She's just a mail lady today delivering the mail. And somebody else may have something to add to the mail today that will make that mail even more profound and more interesting today with this program and concerns of God, because God is concerned about us. Okay, we have someone that would like to come in. Good morning, area code 770. So glad that you can come on this morning.
Good morning, Madam Host. This is Prophet Andrew Sims, General Overseer of Yahweh School of the Prophets. And we're just honored today to be able to have the privilege and opportunity just to be able to say a little something in reference to what it is that the topic is about today.
Yes, sir.
We come to discover at Yahweh School of the Prophets that people really don't want to reverence God, to give God glory, honor, and praise, even though that they are the chosen ones.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they are the chosen ones don't mean that they will receive the benefits that's been afforded unto them. We've come to discover in which at Yahweh School of the Prophets, which we're put in an atmosphere of controversy constantly, that 90% of the people that have been chosen, ordained, appointed, and anointed by God are not willing to take advantage of the privileges that God has afforded unto them. They give you a perfect example, the children of Israel, even though they were chosen, even though they were favored, look at the curses that came upon them because of the fact that they didn't recognize and realize who God was.
Mm-hmm.
We go through a lot of changes because of the fact, not because God has not chosen us, not because he has did not want us to be receive these blessings. It's because of the fact that the majority of time we are being led by preachers and apostles and teachers and evangelists and people in the body of Christ that are leading people in the wrong direction to where the ignorance of God is really all about the gospel. People are being taken advantage of, misused, and abused. So most people are not aware that are saved that they're going to wind up in hell until they get there. So I just want to pass notice to those that's on the line listening to you that it's a lot of us that really need to check our status to find out if we are where God wants us to be by being able to have a dialogue with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of Truth. And if you don't have a dialogue or relationship with the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of Truth, the chances are that you're on your way to hell being a chosen vessel of God and not even know it.
Hmm.
So I just want to pose that to the audience today. When you ask the question, how do you really have a relationship with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of Truth to know if you're going to be where God wants you to be? Then if you ask your audience, Madam Host, how is this done? You'll probably get an alarming answer.
Yes.
Most people aren't aware of that. So I just needed to interject that, ma'am, if you didn't mind. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so very much for coming on, interjecting that. And if we have someone that would like to answer that question, would like to come on and give us an answer. My screen went blank, but I'm coming back on it. We sure would like a response from some of our audience today on this here, because as we was talking about issue and the concerns of God, somebody may have a question. Somebody may want to come on with something. And my screen is back. You also, if anybody want to come in, just come right on in. Just hit one on your keypad. And I will surely bring you in. Yes, Lord. Oh, we give God praise. Everybody, I think, listening this morning so far, nobody pushed their little button. They didn't want to say anything but you, Prophet Sims. They challenged the people today. Oh, amen, amen. Well, the next thing we can do, challenging too, is how can you encourage somebody who have rejected God? Do we have somebody that would like to respond to that? And why would a Christian whose salvation is based on grace live as if his or her salvation is based on work? My. And as I go forth, you know, in verse 28 and 29, let me return over there and read that one. And 28 and 29 say, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the elector, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You know, Israel rebelled toward God, made the nation an enemy of God in terms of spreading the gospel. And this worked to the advantage of Gentiles. But God's love toward Israel remained based on his everlasting covenant with Israel. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God's gift, speak of five given without any merit on the part of the receivers. You know, the fact that God chose Israel was basically solely on God's grace. I'll say that again. The fact that God chose Israel was based solely on God's grace. You know, calling refers to God's invitation to embrace salvation rather than referring to a vocational. God's grace, choice of Israel, and his invitation to receive salvation through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, does not change or disappear in spite of Israel rebellious. This invitation to salvation means the invitation is not subject to a change of mind on God's part without repentance. But here we're talking about Paul compared the Gentiles and Jews and they respond to God. You know, at one time, the Gentile believers were in a state of rebellious, like the people are today. But at the time of his writing, they received God's mercy as a result of Israel's rebellious. You know, out of the mercy show, the Gentiles' mercy will eventually come to the Jews. My. Number, area code 770, would you like to say something else? Amen. I saw his sign was up, so I thought he wanted to say something. And verse 32, let me see what it says. But God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. You know, imprisoned means collateral or confirmed. The idea is that God has confined both Jews and Gentiles to one kind of sin and guilt. Unbelief. How many of you all out there today are going through an unbelief? You see it, but you still don't believe it. You want, they tell you to do something, but because you don't see it, you don't believe it. My. Number 770, would you talk? Like to talk a little bit about that on unbelief?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Well, as a prophet of a true and living God, and I like to use numbers because numbers is exactly the indicator that the devil brings back to the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of Truth to let him know where we are. According to the spirit of unbelief, when you look at how the devil is using this particular maneuver and technique that he has, the devil is bringing a report back to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost that 90 to 95% of the apostles claimed are so-called apostles in this life that we have today have a spirit of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
90 to 90% of the bishops, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and church members are under the spell of unbelief and not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad part about this, Madam Host, is that unbelief is a sin. Unbelief is the opposite of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And to reveal to you, just like with what you're talking about as Israel being God's chosen people, they didn't believe nothing. They saw all of these miracles.
Mm-hmm.
But they still wanted to go back to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that you can see the Red Sea open and you can see all these plagues and pestilences and things like that and don't believe what you saw? Don't believe that there was a true and living God.
Mm-hmm.
So if those people, now listen to me carefully, Madam Host, if those people could actually see all of these miracles and didn't believe, think about us today that's not seeing no miracles at all, of no type at all, no manifestation, no demonstration whatsoever at all. So what do you think we actually truly believe? The statistics reveal that's going back to the Lord is telling the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of Truth that we really don't believe at all. Because if we believed, you would see a greater demonstration of the power of God working.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons why come you don't have a lot of people calling into your show when Prophet Sims is on it is because people know that if they call in and begin to try to defend what it is they know, that they're going to expose themselves to be able to fall under that curse and that sin of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
So silence is golden on your program whenever the prophet is on, because the prophet will allow and command that accountability be given to the Spirit of Truth and to the Holy Ghost about what it is that people claim. So this is the reason why I'm always at a state of challenge. When you think about it, Jesus was always in a state of challenging the Pharisees and the Sadducees, everybody in the position of authority that claim to have a connection with God. He challenged them all the time to determine what kind of belief that they had. And he exposed them because when they opened their mouth, they revealed that they didn't have any belief or any faith in God at all.
Mm.
One of the things that he says, now, I'm the Son of God. Just like Prophet Sims is saying now, I'm a true prophet of God. So when you talk about a true prophet and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus says, well, y'all believe Moses, y'all believe, what was his name, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist spoke of me.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that you don't know me? But you know John the Baptist and you say you know God. So when you look at unbelief, Madam Host, you come to find that 90% of the people in the fivefold ministry, they are living under the sin of unbelief because the signs reveal. Now listen to me carefully now. The scripture says in Mark the 16th chapter that these signs will reveal who is associated with me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't see no sign that reveals the character, the nature, and the personality of a true and living God, it has to be unbelief.
Okay.
And that's the same thing that happened with the children of Israel. The sin of unbelief cost many of them their lives, even though they were chosen.
Mm.
So when you look at the fact that you've got people that will come on the chat line and you've got prophets and apostles and bishops and all these other folks, doctors of divinity that will call on your line, when you ask them just a simple question, Madam Host, what are you working with? In relationship to what you believe, you will be surprised of the answer that you're going to receive. Back to you, madam.
Thank you so much. And that is, you know, with the question you posed to him, what are you working with? A lot of people, they look at you, oh, what are you working with? They, huh, what you talking about? What's that? And as I was listening to you and going through my little thing, notes and stuff I wrote down, you know, God is concerned about every person in the world. As followers of Christ, we are called to be channels to communicate his concern to others. That's letting us know we're supposed to communicate with each other. Christ have already commissioned that. Showing God's concern to some people is easier and more difficult for others. Some people grasp it right off and some take a while before they get it. Yet God is concerned about every person with equal love and compassion. And we have to have the same thing, love, equal love and compassion. And I've wondered a lot of time why people have so much disbelief. God said it, he going to bring it to pass. He will perform it when God said it. Now, if man said something and it didn't come to fruition, that was by the power of God. But when God tell you something, you know that you know that you know. And he lets you know how concerned he is for you and for your well-being, just like he tried to do here and show Israel and the Israelites, the Jews, the Gentiles. You know, as I went back saying, you know, showing God's concern for some people is easy and more difficult for others, yet God is concerned about every person with the equal amount of love and compassion. And, you know, do we see God as being concerned about everyone? I don't think people look at it like that. You know, considering the following properly Is there a simple lifestyle you believe put an individual beyond God's concern? No. A religious or attitude or rebellious or hardness of heart or nationality? No, because God made us and created. He loved all of us. He equipped us for what everything that we need. But are we tapping into what he has given us? That he, you know, would have concern.
Madam Host.
Yes, sir.
You know, all you got to do is just look at this, man. Think about this here. If we believe in what God stands for and what he says about us having all power, us having all authority, us having all dominion, then think about what's happened in New York. The legislation that they passed with homosexuality. Think about prayer out of school. Think about Roe versus Wade. Think about all these things, Madam Host.
Mm-hmm.
If you really look at it close, what kind of report do you think the devil is taking back to Jesus Christ about what we believe?
Mm-hmm.
When we got a bunch of folks that haven't stood up or tried to been the oracles or the statues of God. But yet and still we run around there talking about we prophets and we apostles, we bishops, we hear from God. But you don't see nobody taking no stands against the things of the devil. So that lets you know exactly what it is we actually believe. We believe in a lot of talking. We believe in a lot of of this and a lot of that. We believe in programs. We believe in conferences. We believe in all types of things other than defending what God says that should be defended.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the stats that the devil is taking to Jesus Christ, he says, well, we just got another victory in New York. Well, we got homosexuals where they can be married there.
Mm-hmm.
We got the president. We got him where he's even come out and said certain things that he's in agreement himself personally about these things. So when you look at it, great overseer, we're in a sad state. We as so-called disciples of God. You can
mm-hmm.
see now why because judgment is going to begin at the house of God.
Yes.
Judgment is going to begin at the house of God, not because of those that are not saved, but it's going to begin at the house of God for those that are saved and those that are claimed to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ones that claim to be saved, they are the ones that's supporting the devil.
Mm.
And it's a sad thing about it because the president says, well, I'm a Christian. I want everybody to know that I'm a Christian. Well, is God pleased with the decision that he made? Or does God accept that decision? All right,
no.
Now, do you think he accepted? Oh, no, well, don't say nothing. You're on the air. don't say nothing. I don't want to mess up your program. That's why people don't want to step up to the plate, Madam Host, because they're afraid of exactly how it may incriminate them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to put that out there today and let people know that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't mind challenging people and letting them know where accountability should go. This is my job as a prophet,
mm-hmm.
as a child of God. So thank you, ma'am.
Oh, praise God. We thank you for that input today. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. So, you know, I was just looking at some questions I had down myself. When I looked in verse chapter 11 of that, same chapter in verse 29, it was saying, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You know, And when you think about that, what gifts and calling for spiritual service in your life do you believe to be to be in the heart of God? You know, these gifts come without repentance. And
well, Madam Host, is like this here. If you got a gift that says that you're a prophet or an apostle, the gift should work according to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The gift should work to glorify God and to point your attention and everything else to Jesus Christ. So, and what he paid, what the gospel was all about. So it's quite apparent that a lot of these folks that's got these titles, the gifts was not really given by the Holy Ghost.
All right.
It can't be given by the Holy Ghost because there's no representation that reveals that these things that they believe in and saying is pointing to the oracles, the commandments, and the statutes of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. But the fact of the matter is, Madam Host, is this. When you actually look at the stats, when you actually look at the results, there are so many of us that don't have a demonstration of the presence of power on our God, of God, it makes it appear right.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as though unbelief, according to what people believe, it seems to be right because there's no demonstration. You know, the prayer list in the church never comes down. It always go up.
Yes, yes.
You mean to tell me that the calling of God on your life does not exemplify the presence of God to where the God would intervene in behalf of the things we request through prayer? So it's so many churches you go into throughout this country that the prayer list constantly goes up, and it's happening in every church. So you figure that's just the way that it is. Yeah, you don't think that something happens, and if you do hear about something like that happening, you don't know how to express it or how to catch it. That's just the way that it is. What can you do about it? When the Bible says in the last days, if you go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, it tells you that everything wrong is going to appear to be right.
Yes.
did you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Everything wrong is going to appear to be right. People are going to be truth breakers.
Mm-hmm.
Lovers of things that are wrong. A form of godliness with no power. Forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. How in the world is it that you can say that you are a Christian and don't never learn nothing? But you can go into any other venue in the world and they will not pass you unless you pass your test.
That's right.
But you can be a Christian and be in the church for 50 years and not know the 23rd Psalm and say that you got the power of God on your life. It's a sad day.
Yes, it is.
You don't have to pass no test at all as a Christian except for getting up, going to the church and sitting on the pew and going to sleep. That's all you get. I'm just telling you like it is.
Now you forgot. Now you have to put your money in. Now they're going to ask you for your money. You know what you're supposed to do, your obligation. You don't open up a can of worms there, prophet.
I forgot about that part, you know. Long as you bring your money, you don't need to know nothing. That's all it's about. So, you know, we're just telling it like it is.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reason why come your line is so quiet.
Yeah, because it's quiet as a church house mouse today, but we give God praise for it anyway.
It's going to be quiet. It's going to be quiet because people don't want to expose themselves, see? That's what's happening. But anyway, thank you for your time. Thank the Lord for your program.
Well, I thank God for all the ones that came on, that stayed on. Those that was on the chat, they was on for about 5 or 10 minutes. They all of them left, but thank you so much for coming to the chat live. Each one of you all that had to leave, I thank you for coming. You know, to my conclusion of this program, on because I'm already off the air, but the concerns of God, who are the persons who seem to you to be unloved and unworthy of God's concern? God's concerns for them is no less than his concern was for you before you became a believer. Therefore, your challenge is to become a channel for his concern with every opportunity you have. Will you accept the challenge today? Will you accept every opportunity that God give you? Will you accept it today for the concern of God and for others? I want to thank each and every person that tuned in today. I know it might not have been a shouting message that you're jumping over pews and running through doors and everything, but, you know, we're just bringing up some concerns of God and his chosen people. And he have concerns of y'all at heart. He has God concerned with man's heart and with woman's heart. And it starts in the heart, y'all. It starts in the heart. So today, I want to thank each and every one of you all that came to the show today. My time has been far spent. My time has been up. But, you know, once you start me talking about the Word of God and how good God is, I can talk about it all day because God is so good and so real in my life and to you all that's listening. And I hope you can come back next week. We have another exciting topic on next week's show. You can check the screen later, and it will tell you exactly what's going to be coming on next time. And we're giving God praise today. So, area code 918, did you want to say anything before we leave that line? Area code 409, guest okay. Number, let logged into the chat line 1182. If you want to write something down on the chat line that I can read. But thank you so much for coming to Joy and Peace Outreach, because that's what we are doing. We are outreaching to those that's everywhere that need to have a word from the Lord. We may not, and if you have a topic you would like for us to talk about, write me or email me. We'll be more than happy to go before the Holy Ghost and see what the Holy Ghost say to bring it on, because this is a station that's going around the world to give people information about everything.
Madam Holmes.
Yes, sir.
Before you go, I'd just like to interject this, and I'd like to challenge all of those that's listening and those that's bold enough to take an opportunity to understand what the prophet is saying. See, what is wrong with us at the body of Christ is that even Ray Charles can see that the body of Christ is in trouble and that we have a problem. But the fact of the matter is, the people in the body of Christ, the only thing they always do through conferences and churches and whatever, all they do is talk about what it is that's already known. What the world needs, and by the grace of God at Yahweh's School of the Prophets, we're able to show folks how to rectify the problems that they have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need nobody to tell us that we're falling short in the things of God. We need somebody to show us how to get into position to where we can rectify the problems that we've got, to repent of those and change our ways.
Okay.
So all you'll hear from these different conferences and from these pastors and bishops and apostles and everything, and the books that you get,
mm-hmm.
the books that you buy, there is no solutions in these books to teach anybody how to rectify their problem. Now, the reason why I'm so adamant about saying this and so bold to say it, if it was true, look at all the information we've got from the books that's being wrote other than the Bible. Why come you haven't seen any greater results?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
All right.
So I just wanted to mention that, but, you know,
yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, we need to see some manifestation going on.
We need to see it. We need to know how to. Me
how
having
to.
A knowledge of truth doesn't teach me to apply truth to rectify the problem. Knowledge alone is no good without comprehension and application.
Mm-hmm.
See, knowledge of something is no good without comprehension and application. So that's the thing that we have discovered at Yahweh School of the Prophets, is to be able to apply what it is we know to get the proper results where God can get the glory for it.
Amen.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Well,
I didn't mean to take time.
Oh, that's quite all right. I am so glad that you came on today and shared with the listening audience and those that will go to the archives later, that they will be able to pull up the show for today or any show that have been gone on in the past. I give God praise for it today. And for those that's on their jobs that tune in, I can understand you can't talk like you want to because you probably got your earpiece in, camouflaging it on your job. I thank you all for coming also. I give God praise for it, you know, because we have to get the word out. So whatever means God give us to get the word out about him, about the word of God to help and save his people, that's what we're about doing. So until next week, we have a sure next week coming and live in worship. You know, we got a lot of people on praise and worship. You know, it's a difference on praise and a difference on worship. So we're going to talk about live in worship next week. And we give God praise for this show. I thank every guest that come on again, because I know if it had not been for God that put joy and peace on your heart to tune in, even if you didn't stay, at least you come over to let me know that you was interested enough to listen. So if you still want to know more about the show, all you do is go on Blog Talk, go on Joy and Peace Outreach, and tune in to the archives. And you can hear any program that you may have missed in the past, and for those that we're doing in the present, we'll be more than happy to continue on putting these programs on, not a program, but talking about the Word of God, because I had to get to a point in my life that I had to be broken of all that program. So until next week, I want you all to have a wonderful and a blessed day in the Lord. And thank you, callers, that stayed on to the very end. And in Jesus' name, be blessed. Love each and every one of you all. Bye-bye.